Well, today we actually have a new memory verse because we're just kicking off the month of March. And so that memory verse is found in 1 John. It's 1 John 5:20a. And if you don't know what the A means, it means we're just kind of doing half of the verse there. So if you would say the reference and the verse with me and then the reference, that would be great. Here we go. 1 John 5:20a. And we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. 1 John 5:20a. Knowing God and making him known. Isn't that great? I got to tell you a little story. I've been thinking about it all morning. I shared it Wednesday night at Bible study. And it has to do with the message and us thinking about what we're doing and how we're going forward. There was a Swedish guy up right outside of Wisconsin there in Eau Claire. And he took all day, I mean all day, sitting in front of this can of orange juice and staring at it. Somebody said, well, why are you doing that? And he says, well, it says concentrate. Yep. But that's what we've been trying to do over the past, I don't know how many weeks now, 10, who knows. We've been going at it on the energy bus. So we want to concentrate again today. So here we go. Two more Sundays left of the energy bus. We have today and we have next Sunday. So I hope you're not getting bored. I hope you're getting excited about our future as we move forward in faith. And I want to preface today's message a little bit with the thought that I know that there is some angst being developed out there, folks wanting to know all the details about the move and the timing, the date, etc., and all those sorts of things. But let me say, a date hasn't been set, and I want to assure you that we're not going to be moving until we figure out how to do it in the best of ways. That just makes sense, right? And so we're kind of working on some of those details. Before we move, we'll have plenty of time to digest and figure out all of this stuff, and details will be made available once we kind of get some things written down and figure it all out, and we'll be able to share our thoughts and all of that together when we have a congregational meeting, which I'm hoping we're going to meet sometime, I think either this week or next week, but we really want to try, I think, and have something by the end of the month here. So we are not going to just get up and move without making sure we know what we're doing and doing the best that we can. Now, my goal then is to get all of us on the same bus, getting us ready to make a move, working in unity and love, which is what we've been talking about. And so really, this is not the time for all of us to be worrying about what we will be taking and what we'll be leaving behind. And this is a time to get our heads soaked with the idea that 20-some years ago, the church decided we're going to move out to a new property, and we're going to have to work together as a well-oiled machine, a championship team. Just working really well together, those of us willing to go the extra mile to reach our goals. So I want you to relax. And if you are willing and open and you get on board, this could be for you a very wonderful, wonderful ride that, of course, will be filled with bumps along the way, but will be driven by God's call on us to better serve him and the community. Now, more and more people have been buying this book that I kind of got the idea from, called The Energy Bus. They've been reading it. I would encourage the rest of you to do it. It's called The Energy Bus. It's written by John Gordon. Well, he's a Wall Street Journal best-selling author, and he says, I love what he says. He says that the success model for whatever anyone does that is positive, it's a simple model, he says, is this: love, sacrifice, caring. It's that simple. Love, service, and caring. And being a Christian, of course, he takes his views from the best carpenter in the world, who is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is full of love, service, and caring. Now, in our case, our model, maybe what our model of success is also simple. I think it's pretty powerful. And we don't need to make it complicated, because that's what we want to do always, right? We want to take something simple, make it very complicated. So what I've been talking about is this. It's pretty simple. Get on the bus, love, serve, care, have a positive attitude, have a good outlook, work as a team, stay focused, know God and make Him known, worship, pray, seek first God's kingdom, be word-driven. And by the way, you don't have an outline, so you can't write all this stuff down, can you? But there is a printed outline, and I left it on the copy machine, and there'll be copies for you at the Welcome Center if you want those. Probably for the next couple of weeks, we may not have a bulletin because Brittany's out at the office taking care of the baby. So we'll try and get as much information as we can to you. So we've got that simple thing down, those simple things that we need to do. What I quickly want to do this morning before we share in communion is review or look at review the bus rules, and then we want to add rules number 7, 8, and 9, which, by the way, are over here on the board. And so, again, if you don't know what we're talking about or you need a refresher course, you just go read all of that and you're good to go. So, number one, you're the driver of the bus, right? Remember, you drive in your family or at work or maybe in your household or whatever it is, and then I've been called to drive here at Lebanon First Baptist Church. Number two, there's the desire, the vision, and focus. That's what moves our bus in the right direction. We got to have a desire to do this. We got to focus in on it, hone in on it. And then number three, we need to fuel our ride with positive energy. Number four, we want to invite people on our bus and share our vision for the road ahead. And then number five, we did these last week, right? Number five, don't waste your energy on those who don't want to get on the bus. We need energy to lead people to Jesus Christ all the time, and we cannot keep going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. We just need to spend our time loving Jesus, knowing God, making Him known, focus on moving out, and then leading people to Jesus Christ. Of course, discipling people and teaching people how to live the Christian life. And then number six, we talked about post a sign, which there's a sign right there. There's one over there. There's one in my office. There's even one at home in our house that says no energy vampires allowed. So we want to stay positive. We want to have great attitudes. Now, all these rules, again, as I said before, are listed. They're listed on the wall. We'll make a booklet after everything's over if you'd like one, and you can sign up and grab one. But again, when all is done, we want to have everyone riding on this energy bus moving to our new property. So as we move forward in faith, I want to take a look at and internalize rules number 7, 8, and 9. So number 7 says, enthusiasm attracts more passengers and energizes them during the ride. Enthusiasm. So when we're singing hymns, right, and you get up and you sing How Great Thou Art, oh Lord my God, when I, really? No. And you got to remember what enthusiasm means, who remembers? Filled with the divine. That's what it literally means. Enthusiasm. So that's my life word. And I can tell you I'm now very enthusiastic about what we're doing. I'm just ready to go. If I could do it tomorrow, let's go. Let's pack it up right now and walk on over. That's how ready I am. I want everyone to head over there with me, with the staff, with others that are on board, with the community. And I want no one to be left behind. No one. Now, here's the deal. When you are enthusiastic, people want to get on the bus. When you're enthusiastic about God and the Holy Spirit, people want to get on the bus. Some of you might not remember George Whitefield. I think he was around in the 1700s. Tim, you might correct me. It was somewhere around there. 1700s. George Whitefield. This guy could preach, and Benjamin Franklin actually said he could speak to a crowd of 150,000 people, no microphones, folks, outside, and he would lead people to Jesus, crowds of people to Jesus during the revivals. That's enthusiasm, folks. Now, we're going to move forward with the energy of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at challenges like we are facing right now. We have to look at those as opportunities to learn, to grow, and to succeed. Now, let me say this. An enthusiastic church, I think, with a positive culture and a unified team effort working as a well-oiled machine that has focus, that has purpose, that has those things that we have talked about, it's going to outperform anything that this world has to offer. The church will, as we work together. And the reason is because Jesus Christ is at the helm. Now, is it easy? No. Will it be difficult? Yes. Will we fail? Sometimes. But will there be fun, love, adventure, people coming to know Jesus? Yes. You know, you all remember Colossians 3. Put on compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Well, that's living in enthusiasm. So when you put those things on, you're living being filled with the divine. But I love what it says, and you might want to jot this down because you can read it at home. Chapter 3, verses 23 through 24. Oh, look at that. We got it up there. Thank you, Kristen. So we're going to read that together. Now, this is a verse filled with enthusiasm. So here we go. Don't be reading it like you're a bore, right? This is enthusiastic stuff. So here we go. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Colossians, yeah, you can do that. Colossians 3, 23 through 24. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that and clothing ourselves is all about being enthusiastic for the person that we serve, who is Jesus Christ. And that is the kind of enthusiasm that attracts people. It attracts people. The eighth rule for riding the bus is to love our passengers. Now, right? So let's say I'm the bus driver. I got to love my passengers, right? Whether they tick me off or not, or whether they're the most happy, joyful people at times, I have to love everybody. But guess what? The passenger's responsibility, if we're all moving together, we've got to love each other. We're a Christian family. So enthusiasm is really important. But love is the answer. Because God is what? Makes sense, doesn't it? So to be honest, folks, to get where we're going, it's going to take lots of love. It's going to take sweat, tears, pain, a little suffering. It's going to take a lot of work, but it's got to be tempered with the love of God. And I think it's going to be worth it, really worth it. I mean, even science tells us that when we are loving, and you use the word love, when we are loving, it brings this positive attitude towards us, and we as humans become stronger when we are loving. Now, those on the other side of the spectrum think love is a weak emotion. There are people out there, bah. Love's a weak emotion, but love is the most powerful thing. Love is of God. You know John 3:16, you all know it, right? For God so loved the world. He so loved all the passengers, right? Here on this bus we call the earth. So Jesus, and of course God gave his only son, but Jesus' love bought and brought us forgiveness and salvation. That's pretty cool. Love, think about your family and some of your friends. Love brought Stacy and our three boys together. That's pretty cool. I believe love and God's call brought us to Lebanon First Baptist Church and the church previous and the church before that. And wherever we go in the future. Because if we're based in love on God, God's going to lead, God's going to direct. Love is what brought my parents to discipline me. When we truly love each other, we bring, don't we? We can bring out the best in each other. Now, I'm going to be blunt. Remember 8, 9, 10 weeks ago, you all said I could be blunt, right? And you said I could speak the truth. You know, when a church splits, it's not because we love each other. Oh, I love you, so I need to leave the church. It's because of anger, power, self, bitterness. And it's actually a lack of love. It's a lack of enthusiasm. It's a lack of being filled with the divine. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. If we want to shine on this journey together, we're going to have to love one another like we've never loved each other before. We're going to have to serve each other. We're going to have to care for each other. And folks, it's that simple. It is really that simple. And if you think it's more complicated than those three things, it's because you're making it complicated. Not me, not God, not Scripture. You're making it more complicated. So love the passengers. And how do we do that? How do we love the passengers? I found five little things, and they'll be on your outline so you can see those. And very quick, how do you love your passengers? Well, you make time for them. You listen to them. You recognize them as human beings. You serve them, and then you bring the best out of them. And of course, there's other things you can encourage and all that. But those are all simple things, folks. So love the passengers. And then finally, rule number 9 states that we must drive with purpose. Drive with purpose. And of course, we know part of our purpose is to get over to that new property where we can set up that new mission. Well, keep that new mission center going and lead people to Jesus. But it's also to provide the community with that mission center. It's not just for us. We'll get into that in a second. And then, of course, we're going to seek God and His kingdom first. Now, here's where we need to avoid doing stuff for us. Doing stuff for us. And this is a huge problem in companies and schools and churches and everywhere else where we are kind of taught in our culture today, it's about me. It's about what I want. In our case, it needs to be all about God and what He has called us to do. What is it that God wants? What has He called us to do? You know, it's not about Pastor Dave. You all know how much I love this place right here. And if I could buy it, I've offered $2,000, but no one will take it. But I love this place. I love the history. I love the home feel. I love the wood. I love the stained glass. It's cool. People have lived in here since 1912. So it's not easy for me. And it's not about me. It's not about Pastor Tim. And the fact is, it's not about any of you. It's really not. It's about God. It's about ministry. It's about leading people to Jesus. And so we're not here to have all our wants met and stuff like that. We are here, yes, to worship God, which, by the way, is not about us, is it? It's about God. Worship is. And so we need to share that good news of Jesus Christ because that's what it's about. Now, what each person here today needs to realize is that we were created for a purpose. We all have a purpose that's much bigger than ourselves. So when I said yes to the pastorate, that was a lot bigger than me, way bigger than me, because I wanted to run. I wanted to be like Moses. Forget it, God. You know, I've seen my grandfather go through it. I've seen my brother go through it. What on earth are you asking me to do? Some of you, well, you know, like Josh, I think he's found his bigger purpose. Others of you have. But when you find that bigger purpose, you pray about it, you struggle with it, and then you take off in pursuit of that purpose. I finally sat down in 2018 and wrote my bigger purpose down. And I laminated it so I could always refer to it. And when I'm feeling like a failure, which is often, or feeling like I need a pity party, right? Have you been there? I take that little laminated piece of paper out and I read it to remind me this is who God has called me to be. The thing is that changes over the years. So it's good to have around. It's good to read something like that. And along with that, I wrote an action step. What's the first thing I'm going to do to help me grow in that purpose, to help me know God more, or to reach others, or to serve others, and to love and care for others, making sure it's based on Scripture and not on Dave Wright. We have a lot of exciting challenges ahead of us. We have a big purpose, a lot of great things to do. And whether it's in my time or someone else's time, I believe there's going to be wonderful times of revival, renewal, baptisms, leading people to Jesus. That stuff's going to happen again, I believe, before Jesus comes. And if he comes right now, great, we're all happy. But in the meantime, we got to work hard to lead people to him. So it's going to take enthusiasm, love. It's going to take purpose. The greatest is love, of course. So that's what I'd like to close with before we share in communion. If you have your Bibles, we haven't read a lot of scripture this morning, so I'm going to lay one on you at the end here. This is 1 John chapter 4. And I'm going to be reading verses 7 through 21. Now, you may think that's pretty long, but it's not. So just hang in there with me. It's all about love. So 1 John 4, starting verse 7, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." And by the way, do you think it was easy for Jesus to do that? It was a lot of work. And you know what it tells us about love? It says love. It tells us that love is not something that just happens. It's something that you always work at. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And this is how we know that we live in him and he lives in us. He has given us his Spirit. Remember, we're filled with the divine, which means we're going to be enthusiastic. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they are in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. And in this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Folks, we really have nothing to fear by moving and following the plan. Right? Let's keep it all in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and their sister. We're to love the passengers, aren't we? Just as God loved us. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. What a cool time in the life of the church that we have going on right now. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a ride like we've never experienced before. So would you just fill us with your love and your Holy Spirit, that as we take this adventure together, that, Lord, we will lead people to you. We won't concentrate on our wants, but we'll concentrate on your wants and then what you, how you want us to fulfill those within the community so that we can reach others for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for the communion that we're about to eat together. And Lord, even through this communion, we know the simple part is this, that within this communion there is love, there is service, and there is caring. And it all comes from you. We remember that today, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.